blessing to the reading of His word. Wants us to be ready for the rapture, and part of that is the character of Christ in us. And in order for us to move forward, one of the things that has been identified in the church ages, as we're moving through the church ages as part of that study, is that there are two spirits within the framework of the church. And we know that each chapter or each church age in the book of Revelation talked about in the first few chapters, it is to him that overcometh. And so we're knowing that we as Christians must overcome. And what are we overcoming? We are overcoming the evil one, right? And so we're overcoming our flesh, we're overcoming the spirits. And so I just like to continue on that thought about the spirits, because the devil is trying to hide himself. And by God's grace and revelation, we're able to see those spirits working. And so a child of God, that's what God wants us to be able to do, is to have the revelation to be able to see that clearly. And so if we can see it clearly, then we can withstand it, and then it will not overcome us, but we will overcome it. Amen. So just like to read this quote here, just to plant this again in our minds. Now remember this, Christ in the true church is a continuation of the book of Acts, but the book of Revelation shows how that antichrist spirit would come into the church and defile it, making it lukewarm, formal, and powerless. It exposes Satan revealing his works, attempted destruction of God's people, and the discrediting of God's word right down to the time he is cast into the lake of fire. He fights that. He cannot stand it. He knows that if the people get the true revelation of the true church and what she is and what she stands for, and that she can do the greater work, she will be an invincible army. If they get a true revelation of the two spirits within the framework of the Christian church, and by God's Spirit discern, that means identify, and withstand the Antichrist spirit, Satan will be powerless before her. Amen. He will be as definitely thwarted today as when Christ withstood his every effort to gain power over him in the desert. Yes, Satan hates revelation, but we love it. With true revelation in our lives, the gates of hell cannot prevail against us, but we will prevail over them. So that is our heart's desire, is to overcome. And it has been laid out before us that we shall, but we have to have the revelation to be able to see that. And so we were going through the practical things that Brother Branham talks about it in our everyday life. And so many times it's a little bit different than what we would expect or how we should handle things a little bit. And if you remember last Sunday, we talked about the quote that Brother Branham gave us about loving one another above everything. Do you remember that? And so what you see in that quote, and the Lord helped me this morning, as you see in that quote and as we were going through it, then it was talking about how to handle somebody that's been injected with an evil spirit or a critical spirit or something to that effect, and how to deal with that in the body of believers. And so we know that Satan is trying to work in the framework of the church, do we not? And so he is trying to work right now. He's always trying to work where there is a move of God. And so when the book of Acts was written, when the day of Pentecost came in a mighty way, Satan was right there, if we can see it, in the book of Acts. So God came down and God saved 3,000 souls in the first few chapters. But then what happened? Satan came against them in the form of religious leaders. And so he was trying to fight that move of God. He didn't know how to handle it because this was something new. But as he sees what's going on, then he develops his devices on how to handle that particular situation. And so when we were reading this, if you all just bear with me, just to refresh our minds, he said, love one another above everything. And he's going to bring somebody in to make his target, someone critical or an unbeliever. He's going to shoot them with something. And he said, don't take sides with it. Stay right, loving, sweet, and kind to one another. Pray for that man. Stick one another. Stay with your pastor. Give him respects. He'll lead you through because he's ordained of God to do so. I'm not going to go through all of it. I'm just going to continue on where I left off. But there's some thoughts that by God's grace we'd like to plant here. But he says the enemy will come. And when he does, just cling that much closer together. And the one that the devil is using for an enemy will either get out or come in and be one of you. That's all. Don't never clan or talk, make yourself clannish. We are one. Amen. So remember, he's saying love is the tie that binds us together, right? And he says, don't take sides. And so when something comes in, don't say, well, I believe this person's right or this person's right. Remember, he says, love one another. Now, remember that we talked about in the book of Revelations that, remember, in order to see Christ, we must get into the Spirit of God. And so we've got to get out of our mindset of this carnal nature, but get into the mindset of the Spirit of God in order to be able to see God and see the mind of God and the heart of God. Now, as we're doing that, we know that the Spirit of God is love. And so as we're going through this, so he says, don't take sides with it, love one another. So he says, we are one. Now I'm going to read something here in Total Deliverance. He says, that's the same way it is with the church. When the church is away from its principles, it can never serve the saints well. We've got to stay together, got to be unified. We've got to be one heart and one accord, or we'll never serve God or the people unless we're one heart and one accord to stand by the principles of the Bible and the things that God has said. That's right. We must always stand by them. And so in this message of total deliverance, if you read the message or listen to the message, he's talking about unity. He's talking about staying together. He's talking about one heart, one mind, one accord as you go through this message. And so remember, God is one. And help me, brothers and sisters. This morning, I'm having a little bit of a challenge. If you could just pray with me this morning. And so he says, don't never clan. We are one. And he says, I couldn't say left hand. I'm mad at you. I'm going to take away because you're not a right hand. He's my left hand. I want him to stay there. Even the little tip of my finger, I want to stay right there. Every little part of my body, stay right there. And God wants us as a body of believers to stay right exactly with one another, right at with one another. And now you've got tapes on that. You've got tapes on what we believe. You've got tapes on discipline in the church, how we behave ourselves in the church of God, how we got to come here together and sit together in heavenly places. Don't stay at home. If God is in your heart, you can't hardly wait for them doors to open up yonder to get in here to fellowship with your brothers. If you don't feel that way, then I tell you, it's time you've got to pray. Because we're in the last days where the Bible exalted or exhorted us to much more as we see that day approaching to love one another with Christian love and divine love. Amen. To assemble ourselves together in heavenly places and Christ Jesus and love one another. And so for order for us as to understand and for us to catch the mind of God, the Spirit of God has got to move within this meeting place that we have right here. And so, you know, it takes something to produce an atmosphere in order for you to receive, for all of us to receive something from God. And so it takes a desire. It takes an expectation. It takes an anticipation. It takes something in our hearts that is looking for something, right? So if we come into this morning and we're approaching it and we don't care or we're we're not serious about it, then God is not going to move. Now, I want us to turn to the book of Psalms 51 here. Psalms 51, verse 16 says, "For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering." The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. And so he's talking about the approach to God. So just take that in your mindset this morning and the approach to God, because how many of us want to receive something from God? How many of us want to get closer to God? And so it takes the right kind of attitude. It takes the right kind of heart to do that. It's not something that you have to have a special ability, but it's something that you have to have something in you that is broken and a desire in your heart to see Him. And so it takes that kind of thing. He doesn't come when we're joking about Him or insincere. And so you know that it took, and Brother Marcel was bringing this story and it just comes to mind, but you know that Christ had to be broken for there to be deliverance. Christ had to be broken for there to be peace. Christ had to be broken for the Spirit of God to come down. And so it took Him, remember the agonizing pain that He had to go through in the Garden of Gethsemane, the agonizing pain that He went through as He went through in His life. And so all those things, but it was necessary in order to bring a birth. Amen. It was necessary. You know, as a woman that has had children, you know that you have to go through birth pains in order for there to be life that comes forth, right? And so there is a pain that comes forth in order for something to spring forth that is life. And so in order for you to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, there's got to be a death. There's got to be a brokenness. Do you understand? There's got to be a surrender. And when that surrender happens, then there's something that's going to take place. And so many times we don't understand why God does not move on our situation. It's because we have not gotten broken enough. And when we hit against a wall or we get into a place in the bind and we know that there's nowhere else to turn, that's when God really moves on the scene, because we have become broken. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. And so we in our normal human being self and the spirit of this age is always pulling us away from that. But we've got to constantly be always moving and pressing in that manner. Amen. Do you understand what I mean? And so every single hour of our day, we're fighting battles in order to fight that ground and to gain that ground in order to move forward in Christ. And so we've got to have that kind of a heart. And so if that was our example, if that's what the scripture is, then we've got to have that same thing. And so, you know, he talks about unity. We have to have unity with Christ. Amen. Glory. So the things that bring us out of unity are the things that get in between us, which are the things of this world or sin or some type of a problem. And so God is trying to restore that, right? And so we know that the name of Jesus represents Savior. And God, that is the ultimate revelation of who He is, because He wants to save you and I. He wants to bring you from being lost to being saved. And so there's so many people that are on outside or even in the place they're sitting in them in the church right now that are having a difficult time or are in sin, but you would not know that but just looking at them. That's right. But you see, those are the ones that God needs to bring, because Satan wants them to just stay where they are, right? Because he's trying to bring a spirit of complacency. Amen. Amen. You know, that you come to church, you pray, you know, you read your Bible, and you come every Sunday and Wednesday. He wants you to be satisfied in that. But you see, God is calling us to become higher. And so the Spirit of God is calling out to you, amen, right? Yeah. To have a broken spirit, to have a contrite heart. Amen. Because if you are in that manner, you won't just come and roll in. That's right. On Sunday. You just won't roll in on Wednesday. You won't roll in late, but you have a desire that's burning in your heart, and you say that I need something from you because I know I'm not where I need to be, and so I need to come and get everything I can. And so that's the kind of desire, that's the kind of burning part of our heart that God wants us to have. But Satan is trying to deceive us and cover that up and say you're okay to just be a church member. Now he says, so he wants us to have unity. So when we look at this, he says, love one another. That's the Spirit of God to bring in that unity. And so if each one of us has that love and the unity, you see, Satan's trying to bring something in there that will cause us to disunify. He's going to bring somebody in to try to put a chink in that armor. He's going to try to put something to cause a chink in your mindset. And so it's going to come very, very subtly. So that's what exactly happened in the first church age. He brought in not actual like saying this word is not right, but he brought in a little spirit, and he brought in a little saying called the deeds of the Nicolaitans, right? But what he's trying to say is that Satan is trying to plant a seed. And so when something comes in that's not of God, and when you have a critical spirit, or when you have something that wants to talk about somebody else in a negative way, that is a spirit of the Antichrist. To trying to divide the brethren. Do you understand? And we talked about it. If you're unified, then Satan cannot punch in. You see, as long as Adam and Eve, they stayed behind that word and they were unified, that Satan had no way to get in. Amen. But you see, when she opened up her mind and allowed Satan's thought to come in and captured it and pondered on it, then that's when the trouble began. And you see, just that one little thought would happen. So he says here, he says, God wants us as a body of believers to stay exactly with one another, right at with one another. Now he says, don't stay at home. There's a reason for that, because, you know, if you have the Spirit of God, you want to come to church. Because you want to be. That Spirit of God wants to be with other parts of the Spirit of God. Do you understand? So if something's causing you not to want to be at church, then that is the spirit of the Antichrist. And so he's trying to get you separated. And when he gets you separated, then you're off on your own. And then you'll suffer. You'll get weak. And then the devil will really get at you. So we must come to church. And so there's a desire in there. He says, don't stay at home. If God's in your heart, you can't hardly wait for them doors to go out yonder to get in there and fellowship with your brothers. What if you don't feel this way? He says, if you don't feel that way, then I tell you it's time you got to pray. So if any of us don't feel like coming to church, then he gives the remedy that we've got to go to praying, because when we start praying, then we get closer to God. So we're trying to get closer to God and remove all those things that are trying to separate us from God. Amen. Much more as you see the day approaching, to love one another with Christian love and divine love, to assemble ourselves together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus and love one another. This will all men know that you are my disciples when you have love for one another. Stay right together. If the brother, you think he's a little wrong, how many of you all have thought about a brother or sister that was a little wrong? Yes, just some of you, maybe all of you, if we're being honest, right? Something being wrong, or the sister, say, that's going to be common. Don't never let have a root of bitterness spring up, because it'll affect him and it'll take the Christ out of my life. And so you have this thought. Remember, that's bringing in disunity. It's trying to separate, because now you're starting to think about somebody in the wrong way. So that's what he's trying to put a little wedge there, right? And so don't hold on to that. If somebody treats you wrong, and we're going to get to that in a little bit, if somebody treats you wrong, you've got to address that and get rid of it. You know, the Spirit of God will help us to get rid of it through prayer. And sometimes we have to actually go face to face with a brother or sister and go through that so that you don't have anything that's holding you back. Do you understand what I'm saying? Have this root of bitterness spring up because it'll affect him and it'll take the Christ out of my life. If you let it sit, it will hurt people. Amen. And it will hurt you. That poison acids of malice meaning ill will, desire to injure. You know, when somebody hurts us, then we have a desire sometimes to injure them back, right? And so that is not Christ. And so when we have that desire, remember, that's the flesh, right? And so we've got to turn to what the Word says and go and pray. I know that's opposite of what the world says, but we've got to turn and pray because that'll sweeten and that'll give us forgiveness for that person for what they've done. And jealousy and hatred that will just take the Holy Spirit right away from you. Run him from the tabernacle here. It'll kill the Spirit of God or drive it away from here. Hurt your pastor. So these things are common to man, right? Jealousy. How many's had jealousy? We all have had jealousy, right? You know, somebody's doing better than us and we compare ourselves to them. And then we get jealous. Something good happened to them, then we get jealous, right? Somebody does something to us, and we get mad at them. You know, sometimes we want to do people harm, not physically, but with words. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when somebody does something wrong to us, sometimes we want to take them down with words and say something bad about them just so... And maybe we'll try to cover it up with some spiritual language or something like that, right? Yes. So, but that, the spirit behind that, the intent behind that is harm. It'll take the Holy Spirit right away from you. It'll run him from the tabernacle. It'll kill the Spirit of God. And so we've got to be careful. As the Bible talks about, the tongue is a very powerful thing, but it's a world of fire, right? And so many times we're tempted and we want to say something. And, you know, the social media and things, it's terrible many times because, you know, sometimes we don't have control and we just want to do something, right? And then we just type it in and then we hit send and then later we regret it, but it's already out there, right? And then it causes damage, right? And perhaps it's sent to a lot of different people. And so it's causing a lot of damage. And so there's a confusion, too, because sometimes people might say, well, I thought that person was good, and then it says, puts a doubt in people's mind about somebody else, and it just causes a lot of problems. Amen. Or drive it away from here. Hurt your pastor. It'll do everything. See, don't you do that. You just wax that much closer together. So this is everyday life. It is. Amen. It's not just with, you know, just... in here in church, it's just everyday life with our family, with the people around us, that we've got to take these things that God has said because this is our way to success in the Lord. Now, he says here, take the buckle, as a brother testified, a minister here the other night about having a buckle, seeing it in a vision, just that buckles on the whole armor of God. Just pull her on, tighten up, move right up close to one another. Love one another anyhow. Talk nice things about one another. Say nice things about one another, and then God will bless you. Amen. Is it hard to say nice things about each other sometimes? Okay, let me just put it this way. How many of us have siblings, brothers and sisters, right? Okay, how many of us have fought with our brothers and sisters in our home, right? And so we've had these difficult times, and sometimes we hurt each other pretty bad as brothers and sisters. Why? Because we know what buttons to push. We know what the weaknesses are. We know what'll get them going, right? And so sometimes in anger, we will say those things, and they can be very hurtful, right? And so is it easy? You can think of the times, you know, whoever your brother or sister is that have treated you wrong, is it easy to say nice things about that person sometimes? Not really. It's not. And so, but we've got to, God gives us the ability to do that, right? The closer that we are to God, then the Spirit of God helps us to be able to do that. He reverses the cycle. How many believe that Brother Branham was able to live this, right? Okay, so he was a human being like you and I, right? Did he want to kill people? Yes, he did. Did he lie? Yes, he did. Did he have a temper? Yes, he did. But you see, it took the Spirit of God and the yielding of the Holy Ghost to come into his life in such a way that he was able to actually live this. Do you see that in his life that it's very credible that he was able to talk about nice things about other people, right? Amen. So it is possible, but we've got to yield ourselves to the Spirit of God. Now I'm going to continue on here about spirits, and you know, these are different excerpts, and if you can just bear with me here a little bit, as you hear these things, you know, God wants us to take the Word of God and take the Spirit and catch the Spirit of God, and then catch that Spirit and then apply it to our lives accordingly, right? Amen. And so Satan wants us to take that word because he knows we're going to listen to that word, but he wants us to actually misplace that word. He wants us to misapply that word, if you understand. Even though you know the written word of God, you've got to have the Spirit of God to know actually how to apply that word in the right place and the right time.
Amen. That's right. Amen. Amen.
Because there's many people that have taken what they believe to be the Word of God, and as the Bible says, doing God a service without it being His will. And so even the Catholic Church believed they were doing right, doing God a service, by killing those Christians because they said they were going against what we believe, and we are right. And so, therefore, you can take the Word of God, and though you have the Word of God, you can misplace it, misinterpret it, misapply it. So as we read these things, I want you to keep that in mind. And so that's why it's so important that we've got to catch the Spirit of God and catch the Spirit by which things were being said.
Amen.
Now he says in this quote, Brother Branham is talking about the Holy Spirit segregating. So we talked about the unity and how important that is to defend for the devil to get an edge in there. Now he says, it talks about Pentecost. And Pentecost was a denomination back then, and in this day, if you will, the message is somewhat of a denomination to us. It's a group that has believers, unbelievers, and make-believers, if you understand what I'm saying.
Amen.
So now he says this, and what did Pentecost do? The same their mammy did. They went right back and organized, become a denomination. They say, what's your doctrine? Boy, they comb you out with a fine-tooth comb. See? To find out what you are, what you believe. And if you don't just tally right up with them, brother, you're excommunicated right there. So he's talking about how the denomination will kick people out of the denomination. And he says they comb you with a fine-tooth comb. So they're taking what they believe and their doctrine and what they believe is the Word of God, and they comb you out, but then they kick you out. So do you believe that this is the right spirit? So just keep that in mind right now. And that's right. And don't think just because you say you're Pentecostal, you're secured. Brother, there'll be just as many Pentecosts off the road as there is on the road, I'm sure. So you can place that with, you know, just because you believe you're a message believer that you're secured. What I'm saying associated with the message. Now, all those organizations, if they had just left the Pentecostal blessing go, not organized it, just kept it in a brotherhood and let the Holy Spirit do the segregation, the Holy Spirit segregates. Ananias and Sapphira come in one time and said so-and-so, and the Holy Spirit said, why did you lie? Now, I want you to take that here for a second because, you know, sometimes we're taking the Word of God, and it says, you know what I'm talking about in Matthew, if you turn to Matthew. Matthew chapter, I believe it's 18. Matthew Matthew chapter 18. And you go into verse 15 through 19. And we are all very familiar with these scriptures. And it talks about how to apply discipline in the church. And sometimes we take this scripture about how to address people or say they're doing something wrong, and we may not have all the correct understanding and the information, and it's very much deeper than we understand, if you understand what I'm saying. And so sometimes, let's take for example, Ananias and Sapphira. They were coming there, and so they came in a way just like all the other believers, right? Perhaps they were dressed like all the other believers. Perhaps their conduct was all like all the other believers, but only God and they knew what they were doing exactly, right? And so when they came, it took the Holy Spirit of God to reveal what was going on. So Peter, as a man, did not know exactly what was going on. The other disciples, the other people of the congregation, they did not know exactly what was going on. But it took the Spirit of God, the revealed Word of God, to discern what was going on and therefore identify it, therefore expose it, and therefore address it.
Amen.
So now I want us to take the story, if you will, of Achan. Do you remember the story of Achan? And so the story of Achan, remember the people of God. How many of us want the move of God to move powerfully in our life?
Amen.
In our life, yes. How many of us wants the Spirit of God to move powerfully in this congregation? And so we know that when the Spirit of God was moving and everything was going just right and there was unity in the camp, that they were able to defeat their enemies one by one.
Yes.
They defeated Jericho, and they were going next to defeat Ai.
Okay.
So now if you remember the story, it's in the beginning of Joshua. Remember when they went to Ai that they defeated Jericho so soundly, so easily, you know, so to speak, because they didn't have to really do much. And so they thought that we can conquer Ai just as easily. So they said, we don't need that many people. We just need a few thousand. And so they went in there and they did not know that sin had come in the camp.
That's right?
They knew when the command went out that they were not to take anything from the cursed thing. There was one man, Achan, that took it, but nobody knew what was going on. And so they went. And they only took a few thousand, and they were defeated. 36 people died, and they had their tails turned, right? But God promised Joshua, he said, no man would be able to stand before thee, right? And so they were to take that land, just like they took Jericho. But what was going on? And so remember the contrite heart and the penitent heart. So Joshua, he went down on his knees. And they had a fast, and they began to say, Lord, what is it? So now they don't know what to do. They know that there's a problem, and now they're seeking God's help. And see, that's exactly what God is looking for us.
Amen.
That we cannot do it ourselves. You know, when they defeated Jericho, they did it because they relied completely on God.
That's right.
They did not take a spear. They did not take a sword. They did not take an arrow. But they followed exactly what God said, however different it seemed to what they thought it should be. And so they went around and they walked around, may have looked foolish to the outside. What are these guys doing? But this is exactly what God called for, and they rested in that, and therefore Jericho was defeated. You see, the whole program of God is for us to rest in Christ. You know, the whole word shalom is peace and rest. The whole seventh seal was to rest in Christ. And so when they rested in Christ and when they said, Lord, we don't know what to do and how to handle it, only you do. And then God revealed himself to Joshua. And he said, there is sin in the camp. So now Joshua knows what the problem is. You know, Brother Branham did not know the diseases or the problems that were in the individuals that would come to be prayed for. But it took the Spirit of God, the revealing of the Word of God, to discern and to identify that. Do you understand? And so it took the Word of God, it took Christ Himself to discern and say that there is sin in the camp. And God gave instructions exactly on how to deal with that sin. Amen. We don't want sin in the camp. Amen. Do you understand? Amen. We don't want sin amongst us because that's going to hinder the move of God. Amen. And so He gave him instruction. He says, take the tribe of Israel. And then I will reveal to you which group within the tribe of Israel. And then I will reveal to you the families within that tribe or that group. And then I will reveal man by man to the exact person. Do you think Joshua could do that? No, it had to be God that did it. And so God revealed that it was Achan. And then when Achan was revealed, then they could address the sin. And then sin was removed. And then after that, they had victory upon victory upon victory. You see, God does not want sin in your life. God does not want sin in this congregation. And so, but you see, if it takes the Spirit of God many times to lead us to identify what those are. Why did He send gifts in the church? To identify what those are. But you see, it takes something in order for God to allow these gifts to begin to operate. If you look in total deliverance, remember total deliverance, He's talking about a total deliverance, not a partial, not a halfway, but a total deliverance. How many wants a total deliverance from God? And so He instructs them that there has got to be unity among the people of God. So He says that people make mistakes. Do you make mistakes? Do I make mistakes? Yes, it's not intentional. But you see, sometimes we look at people in a different color glass than we do ourselves. We look at the pastor. We look at ministers. We look at leadership in the church. We look at other people in a different glass than ourselves. Amen. You say they shouldn't be doing that. They shouldn't be doing that. Well, did you ever think that maybe it was a mistake? Maybe they did it unintentionally. But sometimes we're so critical and we want to just say that, oh, they should know better than that. But then if the Bible says that when we look at people, we should consider ourselves, amen, right? You know, when people are overtaken in a fault or some kind of problem, we should look at ourselves, amen, consider ourselves.
Amen. Glory.
And so when people do that, we've got to have a little grace. Amen. Because if you have that and hold on to that, that's going to cause a disunity, right? And so in total deliverance, He's talking about that we've got to get rid of these things in order for there to be total deliverance. He said, if we have unity, then the gifts will start to manifest themselves.
Amen.
You see, they had unity.
Right. Amen.
Remember the book of Acts? That was the blueprint,
amen,
for us, right? And Brother Branham says, every true church and true believer wants to go back to the original.
Amen.
That's in their heart's desire. The ministers, they want to, Paul is their example. The congregation, the believers, the book of Acts, that's their example. And so there was unity in the congregation. Everybody was with one heart, one mind, and one accord.
Amen.
And so because of that, that's how Ananias and Sapphira were identified. Because there was unity. So there was a gift of discernment that operated within Peter to identify that. Brother Branham said these tongues, interpretations of tongues and different things, they're not to repeat Scripture, but to identify a specific issue or a problem. Brother so-and-so, you did this last night. You've got to make that right. If you don't make it right, then sin is at the door. But if you do make it right, you will get delivered of the problem that you have or the sickness that you have. You know, then they'll know that God is with you of a truth. And so remember when that was identified with Ananias and Sapphira, then the people feared. And that fear will cause people to reverence the word of God. And then the power of God will go great. Amen. You see, God is bringing us back to that original faith. Amen. What was Malachi 4, 5, and 6 sent for? He says, and he shall turn the hearts of the children back to the faith of the original fathers, the ones that are at Pentecost. And so God is trying to bring us back to that faith Amen. That was there. Now let's all stand. So the Holy Ghost will do the segregation. Amen. And so as we read this more and more, see, we've got to be in the Spirit of God. So these things that he talks about with handling sin in the church, and again, I emphasize, we do not want sin in the church.
Amen.
We want the Holy Ghost to move freely. And if there's sin there and we allow it, then there's going to be a problem. And he talks about it being a cancer
Amen.
In the church.
Amen.
And that cancer will grow
Amen.
And spread to others. And he said, before you know it, the church will be cold
Amen.
And formal.
Amen.
And so when these things, he gave us the way to address it. But we've got to be in the Spirit of God to take what he's given to us and to apply it the right way. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word, dear Lord. And Lord Jesus, Lord, we know that each one of us are frail, O Lord, and weak as a human being, O Lord. And Lord, we are sinful flesh, O Father. But Lord Jesus, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins, O Lord. And therefore, if we accept it, O Lord, and give our lives to you, then we can stand as a son and daughter of God, O Lord Jesus. I don't know, totally understand it or how it works, dear Father, but I know you said it in your word, and I believe it, O Lord. And Lord Jesus, Lord, the words of Father, Lord, may you take it, O Lord Jesus, and Lord, may it go forth and do the things that you had for it to accomplish, dear Father. Lord, forgive me, O Lord, if I didn't bring it just the way that you would like it, O Lord Jesus. I am weak as a human being, O Lord, but my desire is to please you, O Father, and to do what you've called me to do, O Lord. Help me to become closer to you, O Father, and to get out of the way more and more, O Father, and help each brother and sister, O Father, that's here this morning to do the same, O Father. Lord, let us not be weary in well-doing and complacent, O Lord Jesus, but let us stand always pressing, O Lord, towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus,
Amen.
O Lord. Always being sharp, O Lord, always being sober, always watching and waiting, O Father, and not letting the devil pull something over us, O Lord, but always be ready, O Father, as a soldier of God that has their hand on the sword, O Father, their shield ready to block the arrows of the devil, O Lord Jesus, the helmet, O Lord, to protect us in our mind, O Father, all those different pieces of the armor, O Lord Jesus. O Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, Amen.